Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place for American patriots to come together as one united people. Today is Thursday, March 21st, 2013, and this is Sally Duffist. I'll be your host tonight. We've got lots of things to talk about tonight. Some of it's going to be in reference to the Second Amendment and the UN Small Arms Treaty, what that really means. Then there's been seeing some information about some drone protest rallies going on this Saturday, so that's another thing that's going on. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Rand Paul's immigration plan. I've been trying to get my hands wrapped around exactly what it is compared to what you hear in the media and that kind of thing, and what it truly is. How close is it to a de facto amnesty? Rand Paul's budget, we'll talk a little bit about that. Massive cuts on the stuff I was hearing today, which was excellent. And then if there's time, we'll get into what's the recent report on the plan, whatever the GOP is calling it, where they have to change what they believe in. They don't know how to embrace the American philosophy, I guess, or something. I don't know. If we have time, we'll get into that. And then some of the things on the different games going on with the sequester games, you know, how much money they waste on some stupid things when they don't give money for the veterans, missiles to nowhere, yet they're cutting back on veteran affairs and things for veteran support. Just craziness like that. And then maybe a little bit more discussion on Cyprus and how the banks, they were going to basically seize people's bank accounts and take the money. And then let's see what else. A couple of local updates here real quick. The Florida courts have actually approved detaining motorists at toll booths. So, and this is something to do with a motorist comes up to the toll booth with a larger bill, and I don't know what large means. I don't know if it's a 50, 100 or something. They can detain them indefinitely at the toll booth. So, I'm going to talk about that on one of the shows when I get into the transportation, which reminder on that one is I am coming up with a new schedule. Probably starting in March, I'm going to change my schedule around a little bit. And there's going to be a weekly report on transportation. I really want to help facilitate the communication of fighting the toll roads, stopping the selling off of American infrastructure, selling off of America. So we'll be doing that, and we'll get into the details of this Florida court-approved detaining motorists. You can do a search on it, find it, and if we have time, we'll talk about it. And then Senator Marco Rubio, during their spring break, as they call it, or whatever, when he's going to be here in Florida, he's not going to be having any town hall meetings. He's going to have mobile offices set up in different places to meet with people. And, of course, I'm real curious as to how much these mobile offices cost. But more importantly is, why does he not want to have a town hall meeting? Why does he not want to bring people together to discuss the issues? Personally, I think I know, but, you know. So if you want to talk to Rubio, Senator Rubio, about some of the issues, you're going to have to go seek him out, either in the local offices or in his mobile office that he's going to be traveling around in, which I think is pretty crazy. And let's see, what else? Glenn Beck, as many of you know, Glenn Beck has the Blaze TV show. They have it on one satellite service provider now, but they're trying to promote it and get it onto other cable channels, other cable service providers. So there's a general number if you want to find out how you can help. You can call 1-800-996-2529. That's 1-800-996-2529. And then you can also, for people in the Orlando area, Bright House is a local cable provider. You can call them at 1-866-309-3279. That's 1-866-309-3279. And you can go to the Glenn Beck website to find out about other local cable providers. And apparently there's been a lot of people knocking on their doors and getting in their face. So let's hope that we actually help promote getting some honest news out there. We've got to somehow combat the garbage we hear on the left side. And Fox does its own slanted reporting, too, not nearly to the extent of some of the others, especially the networks, the national networks, ABC, CBS, NBC. But when it comes to, we need people to know the truth. We need people to hear another side of the story. We need people to understand what's really happening in education. So Glenn Beck gives another option to the media, gives a true balanced report on it. So if you get a chance, please do that. And then the other thing, which is what I got the show called tonight, it's 300 million Americans versus 545 politicians. A columnist, his name is Charlie Reese, and back in February of 84, he published an article, 545 people are responsible for the mess, but they unite in a common con. That was when he first wrote the article. And he is actually retiring in his last column. This is in the Orlando Sentinel, a.k.a. Flantinel. Anyway, he wrote this article, and it's really good. And I'm going to go over some of it. I don't know if I'll read the whole thing, but it's really interesting. And on here, what he's got it called now, or what it was labeled out there at this time as I've got it, is 545 versus 300 million people by Charlie Reese. As you can see, I kind of took a little bit of a spin on that, saying 300 million Americans versus 545 politicians, because that's really what it is. It's the American people versus the politicians. And so I'm going to read a little bit of this, and it's just really interesting. And then there's a poem that he has at the end of it that's also kind of interesting. So I want to go through some of this, and then we'll get into some of the other topics. If there's anything that you want to talk about in particular tonight, let me know. Just call in 347-857-4364. That's 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to go into the host queue. If you don't press 1, I won't know that you want to speak on the air. Okay, first off, this is... There could be no truer statement than this very first statement sentence he has in here. Politicians are the only people in the world who create problems and then campaign against them. And that is so true. I mean, it's true. That's what it is. Then it goes down here. Have you ever wondered if both the Democrats and the Republicans are against deficits, why do we have deficits? They're not against them. They create the problems and then campaign against them. This isn't rocket science, but it's amazing what he put here. Have you ever wondered if all the politicians are against inflation and high taxes, why do we have inflation and high taxes? Again, politicians create the problem and then campaign against them. You and I don't propose a federal budget. The president does. You and I don't have the constitutional authority to vote on appropriations. The House of Representatives does. You and I don't have the right to. You and I don't write the tax code. Congress does. You and I don't set fiscal policy. Congress does. You and I don't control monetary policy. The Federal Reserve Bank does. 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president, and 9 Supreme Court justices equates to 545 human beings out of the 300 million are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for the domestic problems that plague this country. Can't argue with that. The only thing I would maybe add to it is that we, the people, haven't paid attention at the ballot box, and we haven't changed the ballot box to support us. Okay, and back to this. I excluded the members of the Federal Reserve Board because the problem was created by Congress. In 1913, Congress delegated its constitutional duties to provide a sound currency to a federally chartered but private central bank. That is so important, and people just don't truly understand or appreciate what that means. I'm going to read this one thing again. I excluded the members of the Federal Reserve Board because the problem was created by Congress. In 1913, Congress delegated its constitutional duties to provide a sound currency to a federally chartered but private central bank. They gave away, I mean, they are, what do you want to call it, their fiduciary duties. They violate their oath of office because they surrendered what they're supposed to do to the Federal Reserve, which is a private central bank. Private. It is not our bank. And that's the part that people don't understand, and how this private bank is undermining our whole economy, when they, especially when they print paper that has nothing behind it. I excluded all the special interest and lobbyists for a sound reason. They have no legal authority. They have no ability to coerce a senator or a congressman or a president to do one cotton-picking thing. I don't care if they offer a politician $1 million in cash. The politician has the power to accept or reject it. No matter what the lobbyist promises, it is the legislator's responsibility to determine how he votes. So you don't blame the special interest because the politicians are crooked and take the money. Those 545 human beings spend much of their energy convincing you that they what they did is not their fault. They cooperate in this common con regardless of party. We've been saying that here all along. It has nothing to do with the party. It has to do with a bunch of self-serving individuals, politicians. We don't have any American statesmen. We have a bunch of sleazy, unethical, immoral politicians who would sell out their grandmother if they could, and they sell out the American people every day. Okay, back to this. What separates a politician from a normal human being is an excessive amount of gall. No normal human being would have the gall of a speaker who stood up and criticized the president for creating deficits. The president can only propose a budget. He cannot force the Congress to accept it. The Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, gives sole responsibility to the House of Representatives for originating and approving appropriations and taxes. Who is the Speaker of the House? John Boehner. He is the leader of the majority party. Excuse me. He and his fellow House members, not the president, can approve any budget they want. If the president vetoes it, they can pass it over his veto if they agree to. The House has passed a budget, but the Senate has not approved a budget for over 3 years. The president's proposed budgets have gotten almost unanimous rejection in the Senate in the first time. I like that part where he's talking about John Boehner, because, you know, who is the Speaker of the House? And it's a good point. Is John Boehner, I mean, he's technically the Speaker of the House, but he's really not Speaker of the House. He's Speaker of the Republicans. He doesn't speak for the whole hut. You know, it's just this game that goes on. He is the leader of the majority party. He's not really the Speaker of the House. He's a leader. And my own opinions of what it means when he says leader. But anyway, the point is he is the Speaker of the GOP, not really the House. Back to this. It seems inconceivable to me that a nation of 300 million people cannot replace 545 people who stand convicted by present facts of incompetency and irresponsibility. I can't think of a single domestic problem that is not traceable directly to these 540 people. When you fully grasp the plain truth that 545 people exercise the power of the federal government, then it must follow that what exists is what they want to exist. If the tax code is unfair, it's because they want it unfair. If the budget is in red, it's because they want it in red. If the Army and the Marines are in Iraq and Afghanistan, it's because they want them in Iraq and Afghanistan. If they do not receive Social Security, If they do not receive Social Security but are on an elite retirement plan not available to the people, that is because they want it that way. There is no insoluble government problems. Do not let these 545 people shift the blame to bureaucrats whom they hire and whose jobs they can abolish. two lobbyists whose gifts and advice they, oops, okay, let me try that again. Okay, go ahead and start that one over. Do not let 545 people shift the blame to bureaucrats whom they hire and whose jobs they can abolish, to lobbyists whose gifts and advice they can reject, to regulators to whom they can give the power to regulate and from whom they can take this power. Above all, do not let them con you into the belief that there exists disembodied mystical forces like the economy, inflation, or politics that prevent them from doing what it takes, what they take an oath of office to do. These 540 people, and they alone, are responsible. They and they alone have the power. They and they alone should be held accountable to the people who are their bosses, provided the voters have the gumption to manage their own employees. We should vote all of them out of office and clean up their mess. Charlie Reese is a former columnist of Orlando Sentinel newspaper. Okay, and then in the email that I got, says, what you do with the article is up to you, pass it on, which I did. I forwarded this to a lot of people, and I'll probably read over some of it again. But the whole point, these 545 people, and they alone are responsible. They and they alone have the power. They and they alone should be held accountable to the people who are their bosses, provided the voters have the gumption to manage their own employees. We should vote all of them out of office and clean up their mess. It's the truth. And we've been saying it here. Re-elect no one. Re-elect no one. Fire Congress. Fire every single one of them. We have said that over and over again here. And that's why, while, 545 people have the power, it's the 300 million people who have not insisted on an honest election. Because who we have in office today isn't who the majority of us want. I know from everything I've seen over the years that we do not control the ballot box. We do not get the representation of our choice. The process is so corrupt. The machines are corrupt. The political parties are monopolies. And then you have super PACs like we talked about on the last show, where Bloomberg and these multi-billionaires really go out there and buy up local elections all over the place. We don't have honest elections. But in all reality, in all truth on this too, that's because the 545 people corrupted the election process. And what he says here is it's so true. I'm going to go on this one again. Do not let these 545 people shift the blame to bureaucrats whom they hire and whose job they can abolish, to lobbyists whose gifts and advice they can reject, to regulators to whom they give the power to regulate and from whom they can take this power. Above all, do not let them con you into the belief that there exists disembodied mystical forces like the economy, inflation, or politics that prevent them from doing what they take an oath to do. Excuse me. They take an oath to do a certain thing. They take an oath to abide by the Constitution. They take an oath to work on behalf of the people, to do the people's work. They are our employees. But what they do is nothing but a common con job. And you see that all over the place. And, I mean, in the very first sentence of this thing, I just love the very first sentence. Politicians are the only people in the world who create problems and then campaign against them. It's just such a true statement. They're the ones who have made this mess, but we the people have stood on the sidelines. Way too many people sat on the sidelines. They were more concerned about watching the Super Bowl game than they were what was happening to their country, and that still remains the same today. It's all this the head game that the elitists want to do to the sheeple, the peasants out here, how they can distract you, how they can dumb you down through education, how they can manipulate you through political correctness, dumb you down, distract you, so they can go do what they want to do while you just sit there watching TV and whatever, being clueless, which is a very sad state of affairs. Now, there's there's a poem here, so I want to go ahead and read this other. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's kind of neat here. And you have to, and if you got it in the email, please make sure you read the whole thing. Taxes land, taxes bed, tax the table at which he's fed. Taxes tractor, taxes mule, teach him taxes are the rule. Taxes work, taxes pay. He works for peanuts anyway. Taxes cow, taxes goat, taxes pants, taxes coat. Taxes tie, taxes shirt, taxes work, taxes dirt. Taxes tobacco, taxes drink, tax him if he tries to think. And that's the truth. Taxes cigars, taxes beers, if he cries, taxes tears. Taxes car, taxes gas, find other ways to tax his ass. Tax all he has, then let him know that you won't be done till he has no dough. When he screams and hollers, then tax him some more. Tax him till he's good and sore. Then tax his coffin, tax his grave, tax the sod in which he lays. Put these words upon the tomb, taxes drove me to my doom. When he's gone, do not relax. It's time to apply the inheritance tax. And then from that point on, it just goes and it's a list. You got accounts receivable tax, building permit tax, CDL license tax, cigarette tax, corporate income tax, dog license tax, excise tax, federal income tax, federal unemployment tax, fishing license tax, food license tax, fuel permit tax, gasoline tax, gross receipts tax, hunting license tax, inheritance tax, inventory tax, IRS interest charges, IRS penalties, tax on top of tax, liquor tax, luxury tax, marriage license tax, Medicare tax, personal property tax, real estate tax, service charge tax, Social Security tax, road usage tax, recreational vehicle tax, sales tax, school tax, state income tax, state unemployment tax, telephone federal excise tax, telephone federal universal service fee tax, telephone federal state and local surcharge tax, telephone minimum usage surcharge tax, telephone recurring and non-recurring charges tax, telephone state and local tax, telephone usage charge tax, utility taxes, vehicle license registration tax, vehicle sales tax, watercraft registration tax, well permit tax, workers' compensation tax. Okay? Still think this is funny? None of these taxes existed 100 years ago, and our nation was the most prosperous in the world. We had absolutely no national debt, had the largest middle class in the world, and mom stayed home to raise the kids. What in the heck happened? Can you spell politicians? I hope this goes around the U.S. at least 540 times. You can help it get there. Go ahead, be an American. Send this to everyone you know. And I did send this to a lot of people I know. And I will be giving it out to others that don't have email. And it's so, so true. 545 people are truly the ones who hose up the system. And when you think about those who are in Congress today, in the White House, the Supreme Court, most of them have been there for a very long time. This isn't like you got a bunch of newbies up there and it was some other Congress that did all this, you know, a few years back. It's the same people over and over and over again. They need to be fired. if they do not aggressively promote being Americans and promote the Constitution, then they don't belong there. They really don't. So on that note, please think about that. And again, this is the article's named 545 versus 300 million people by Charlie Reese. And this was his last article as a columnist in the Orlando Sentinel. And he originally published this article back in February of 84. And back then it was called 545 People Are Responsible for the Mess, But They Unite in a Common Con. It's so true. There's no rocket science of what he has said here, but every bit of it's true. And over the couple years, American Statesman's been out here, we have been saying the basic message. It's these people who don't honor their oath of office, these people who, it's not because they can't, because of the politics, it's because they don't want to do anything. And, Ron Paul is not out there anymore. Rand is, but Ron Paul. And he was telling everybody, the parties are the same. None of them want to cut spending. They don't. Doesn't matter what party they're in. They don't want to cut spending. It's just a fact. And then, here I go down this whole list of all these taxes. And then, again, this last, still think this is funny? Not one of these taxes existed 100 years ago. Isn't that something to think? And there is just a slew. And I can tell you here in Orange County, there's a whole other slew of taxes, stupid things they make you get permits for and everything else that you shouldn't, a permit if you're going to have a garage sale and whatever else. Every kind of stupid tax that they can think of that they can get from you. And think that 100 years ago, we didn't have any of these taxes. 100 years ago, no taxes, and our nation was the most prosperous in the world. We had absolutely no national debt, had the largest middle class in the world, and mom stayed home to raise the kids. So you see a decline of the family structure. Because today, if you don't have two incomes, people raising kids today, if they don't have two incomes, I don't know how they would do it. And it's just, so what happened? What happened? And it all comes to politicians. And that's the whole reason for American Statesmen being out here. We've preached all along, what's the difference between a statesman and a politician? Politician works for the next election. A statesman works for the next generation. We have politicians. We don't have statesmen. We see a few statesmen coming up and through the ranks. You've got Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. Some people want to say Rubio. Rubio may have been a Tea Party candidate, but I don't believe he's a true Tea Party individual. Even though I think at this point in time, from everything I've seen, especially after this report of the GOP, what they're going to do, what the GOP is going to do, I think it's safe to say the GOP, just like in the past when they made Romney their chosen child, they have now made Rubio the chosen child. And we'll see how it all plays out, but I think I know how it's going to play out. It'll be interesting to see what they try to do with Rand Paul versus Marco Rubio, because you've got two Tea Party senators who came in, I believe, in the same election. I believe they both were actually in at the same time, who have totally different ideas about what has to be done. And there can be no difference. All you have to do is go watch the videos from the CPAC conference, and Rand Paul was embracing the Constitution, and Marco Rubio just sounded like the typical establishment politician. And if anybody listened to both of them and thinks something different, you are more than welcome to share your opinion. Let me know if you have something different on that. But that is just truly when I listened to them. And I went back a couple of times and listened to both of them side by side. And, Rubio, polished establishment politician kind of stuff. Rand Paul, Constitution, and then you have Ben Carson. Ben Carson is another one. And with Ben Carson, of course, obviously he articulates his thoughts well. He's an excellent speaker. Very calm, cool, collected, speaks the truth, and very just common sense to it. And he is a no-party affiliate. So I'm telling you, we got some other choices, but when you think of the various people that are out there, and because they're already looking at these people for the presidency in 2016, and I mean, not going to even get through the first year of this term, I just have a sense that the Republican Party will embrace Rubio as they did Romney, which I believe will be a big mistake. Let's see, what else? Let's talk about some of the other things. Second Amendment. Now, we know there's been, Dianne Feinstein. I don't know if you saw the recent clip where back in, I think it was like 95, it was a while back, where she's out there talking about people. She understands people being concerned about their safety, and that's why she got a gun, and she, if someone was going to try and take her down, she was going to take them with her. And they weren't going to take her down alone. And, I mean, everything to do with, she needed a gun for protection. But for her, but not for everybody else. The hypocrisy of Dianne Feinstein is amazing because she doesn't want anybody else to have any guns. She wants to disarm the American people. They'll never disarm the criminals. I don't understand how any Congress, anybody in this country, could be so naive. I mean, do they truly think the criminals go out there and get the guns the legal way? And do they truly believe they're going to somehow remove all the guns off the planet? Are these people just dumb? It makes no sense. So all they want to do is disarm the honest people. The honest people who will fight for their freedom and fight to protect this country. But that, and of course, that's what they're afraid of. They don't want that. And that's, of course, the whole reason why they're doing this, all this disarmament. It's well known through history, the way you control people is you limit their transportation, limit their food, you control the food supply, you control the communication, and you control the defense, keep them from being able to defend themselves. People have those things that they can't do a whole lot. And, there's been so much going back and forth on the Second Amendment, and people are, it's quite obvious right now, the Sandy Hook thing has been a few months now. The NRA has been out there fighting big time. Americans have been buying more guns and more ammunition than ever before. So they can see that it's not going in their favor that way. So now the evilness of these people in Congress, the evilness, and I call it evil because that's what it truly is, they are out there playing games once again with this UN small arms treaty. They are trying to totally bypass the Congress, bypass the people. And I've heard two different things, and right now I really don't know which way it is. I don't know what the truth is. Is that I have heard, this is what I have thought was the truth in the past, but I've recently heard some other things saying something different. It was my understanding that if a national treaty, if a treaty of any sort was opposite or against what the Constitution was, it destroyed the rights we're guaranteed under the Constitution, that it was not enforceable here in the United States. We were not going to be able to lose our rights to a foreign entity, in this case, United Nations. But then I've been hearing the other side of it an awful lot lately, and the whole reason, they're going out to this UN small arms treaty and going to surrender Americans' rights to own arms through the UN. This is this one world government that people refuse to believe is happening. Go out there, if you still don't believe in one world government, the United Nations being the sole government of this planet and everything else, if you still don't believe it, one world order, as George Bush Sr. said, go out there and look up a UN small arms treaty. I believe they're going to be voting on this in the next few days. I have to go look and get clarification on that. But the whole thing is for the United States to surrender the House of these 545 people, the Houses of Congress, to go out there and surrender our rights to the United Nations. They've already surrendered some of our rights to the United Nations. They've already handed over our national monuments to the United Nations. You'll hear Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. That's what it's all about. This is this one world order, one world government, where they're surrendering property rights and everything else over to the United Nations. And this is how they want to do it, to take away our Second Amendment. I really didn't think they could do that. I didn't think they could use a foreign policy, foreign treaty, to take to circumvent the Constitution, but I've heard lately that they can. So just understand that's what's happening. When it comes to my two senators, Nelson and Rubio, Nelson's going to vote for the other. It wouldn't matter what I would say. Nelson, he's such a whatever. He needs to go. He's been there too long. Our tax dollars had to send him out in outer space, which is where he should have stayed. But he doesn't. He's not going to support the Constitution. He doesn't care about the Constitution. And when it comes to Rubio and this small arms treaty, I'm not sure what he'll do. He's done some weird things, like with, I think it was NDAA he supported. I think he supported the Patriot Act. So I really don't know what Rubio would do. And then when it comes to my local congressional representative called Alan Grayson, well, we know what he's going to do. So I don't know. And it's not looking good. But people do need to get out there and get involved as much as possible to try to keep them from signing or approving, passing the UN Small Arms Treaty. They should not be allowed to give away our constitutional rights. They took a sworn oath to protect our constitutional rights, so I don't see how they're legal. To me, it would be treason for them to do anything else. This is where these different pieces just don't make any sense. How can they violate that basic oath of office to protect that constitution while surrendering our rights to the United Nations? I don't get it. And if anybody has anything on that they want to talk about, please feel free to call in and just make sure you press 1-347-857-4364. 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 so I know that you want to speak on the air. The other thing, like I was saying earlier, I've seen some different things coming up for drone protest rallies. This is where they want to go out there and just kill Americans on American soil. And of course, they're doing it worldwide, but, you know, we're supposed to have some kind of rights here on the homeland, but we really don't. And so there's a variety of protest rallies. I've seen several emails come through. The last one I saw is going to be this Saturday, March 23rd, in Brooksville, Florida, but I believe there's several scattered about. So if you might want to try to participate in one of those if you can. Right now, I haven't made any plans one way or the other if I'm going to be able to go or not, but I might try to. And then I want to talk about Rand Paul's immigration plan. And it was we were talking again on the last show how they Ann Coulter was – I mean, it was – I was enjoying watching her talk at CPAC. I mean, it was – she was up there talking. She's a one-issue person, amnesty. Anybody who's going to support amnesty, she will not support them, period. And that was, you know, she was very, very adamant about that position. So I found that to be interesting. So we're kind of wondering, at least I'm wondering, it's like, okay, the GOP, which Ann Coulter is a Republican, as far as I know, she's pretty loyal to that party. Now that the GOP has gone out there and said they have to be nice and play nice with the Hispanics, we don't care about Americans, just go for the Hispanics, and all this other nonsense of what they're saying. And this was a report. I think they said it was like a 100-page report. The Republican Party surrendering anything they believe in because they have to get votes, which on the last show, Nathan called in and was talking about they're all one party, which is really what it means. When the GOP has to surrender their principles to capture votes instead of promoting and embracing the principles they believe in and doing a better job of getting their message out, when they have to surrender their principles, then they are now part of the Democrat Party. That's really all it is. It's all one big party. It doesn't matter which, you know, it means nothing. So, again, is why we need to get rid of the parties. And it was quite interesting listening to Nathan talk about it because, you know, he was very, very correct. I mean, I totally agree with what he was saying. You know, they're over here in this party because they supposedly believe in certain things. Gay marriage or, you know, opposing that and this and that. And these various things, including the amnesty. And all of a sudden, and supposedly less spending and stuff, but supposedly they're against amnesty. But because of this thing that's going on with the Hispanic vote, now they're going into embracing comprehensive immigration reform. they have to reach out to the Hispanic community. And I think it was Glenn Beck who was saying something or quoting somebody on this. You can't always say what you believe, or you can't always say what you believe because people won't accept it, or you, who knows, you might get hurt, whatever else. I won't always say what I believe, but I will never say what I don't believe. I think I said that right. But the whole point meaning, I may believe something and not say it out loud. I may keep it to myself as to avoid any kind of fight with somebody or whatever else. So I may hold back on saying something I believe. But on the other side, I will never say something I don't believe in the interest of trying to keep somebody else happy. I'm not going to lie about what I believe in. So when you think of all that stuff, what is happening with the Republican Party? And here, American statesman, I will, till the death of me, I will promote being an American. And it is a sad state of affairs when both of these two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, go out there and divide this country all over the place. And, I mean, the other thing Nathan was saying, well, he said, well, actually, when you think about it, Obama, the White House occupier, has actually been a uniter. He has brought people into one party. He has converted the Republican Party into the Democrat Party. He has united people in that way. Now, he's divided people in every other way. But it was just kind of an interesting thing the way Nathan was explaining it, because really he's right. The while Obama has been in office, the Republican Party continues to align itself more with the Democrat Party. It doesn't believe anything. But as I was saying here, here on American Statesman, I will never say anything different to the fact that we should all be Americans. I don't care where you came from. If you're here legally, who cares? If you're here to embrace the Constitution and live as a free society, who cares where you came from? That's what Americans are. Americans are immigrants from all over the place. So why do we care if you're a Hispanic, Latino, Cuban, Mexican, whatever, Russian, Italian, Greek, whatever? It doesn't matter. And it just totally, with the things that the Democrat Party plays, you can see how this divisiveness would play into some of the things they've done, even though that's not what the Democrat Party was in the beginning. The Democrat Party was out there to support the working class, to make sure that the working class, the rights were protected. But they do everything opposite of that these days. But when you go over here to the Republican side, where they claim to believe in smaller government, they claim that they did not believe in amnesty for the illegals, but everything they do, they cave in. To suggest a comprehensive immigration reform. Now, I'm going to tell you, in my own experience, it's not like I have sat there and studied immigration law or policy, because I haven't. I can say my own opinion, the biggest part of the problem we have with immigration today is that it doesn't get enforced. Do we not allow enough immigrants legally via guest worker programs or H-1B visas or whatever? I don't really know that. I mean, that's what some would suggest. Some would act like, well, we don't have any kind of guest worker programs at all. And I know that's not true. We do. People with green cards all over the place, H-1B visas. And they mean, and they give H-1B visas for people to come over to do housekeeping, a hotel service kind of thing, stuff like that. It's not like they were giving H-1B visas strictly to high-tech or other types of jobs that would be that took more training and education and stuff. That wasn't what it was about. So it just makes no sense. So when it comes to what immigration is, so the core policy, like I said, I'm not a master of what the core policy is, but when it comes to the fact that employers are not supposed to be, you're not supposed to hire them, and we'll talk about E-Verify and Rand Paul, you're not supposed to hire them. We're supposed to have border security, and they're not supposed to be getting all these free services. All these things that, if were enforced, there would be no reason for the illegals to come here. The illegals only come here because we're a welfare state and they can get whatever they want. And me and you, the taxpayers, who actually pay Social Security and pay income tax, we're the ones who get stuck footing the bill. Now, with all that being said, I listened to Rand Paul, and he was on Glenn Beck yesterday, and I was listening to him talk about his immigration plan. And I read something on, okay, he addressed a Hispanic group, Chamber of Commerce, whatever it was the other day, and it was in something that I read there where it sounded like he was saying, or something was written, I don't know whether he said it or they wrote it, a de facto amnesty. And in some ways I kind of think that's what it is. But as Rand Paul was explaining his immigration plan, the key to me, the key elements, which nobody else has gone to the extent to document, the key elements are that in the beginning, before any of the immigration rules would kick in, whatever to do with all the illegals, and before you ever do anything to address the illegal immigrants in the country today, the border has to be secured, and it will be over a period of years. It has to be secured. It has to be maintained that way. And the Congress has to actually sign off and approve that the border is secure. It's just not a matter of people saying, well, they're going to do it, which is what they did back in 86. And that's what they've been saying since George Bush was there. But we all know George Bush didn't want to secure the border because he was going for the North American Union. Why would you go and secure a border when you're going to make Canada, the United States, and Mexico all one union? So that was the game he was playing. But anyway, so the point is to secure the border, and before anything else happens, that border has to be secured, period. So that part I obviously like about his plan. The other part, and where everybody, the amnesty line comes in, he makes a comment. This isn't an exact quote, but it's to the effect, if you want to come to this country, if you want to work in this country and this and that, we will find a place for you. That was the way he said it. And it is not a path to citizenship. But, however, at the same time, he would actually be giving legal status to the illegals. They would not be citizens. They would be some type of guest worker program or something to that sort. So that's where I think the de facto amnesty comes in. They would not be citizens, but they would be here legally. Their status would be changed to legal. And we can get into the discussion as to whether these people would ever come forward to be legal. I don't know. Right now, it looks like the benefits are all in their favor. If they're not getting citizenship, it seems like it's to their benefit just to stay illegal and get paid under the table, not to pay any taxes and all the other bennies they seem to get at our expense. But that was kind of the way I was hearing it. If you are in the country, you know, anybody who's here who wants to be here, we will find a place for you. It's that we will find a place for you is the part that sounds like a de facto amnesty, but it is not citizenship. He, in reference to the citizenship, they would have to go to the end of the line, and like everybody else, they would have to go through the same process as anyone else who wanted to become a citizen. And so they'd be at the back of the line. So, and to that degree, it's not amnesty in the sense they're not being granted citizenship, but they are being granted legal status. So depending on what you think that means. And with me, the fact that it's going to, he has that process in there to secure that border first. And then I truly don't believe, my own opinion is that most people will not come forward anyway. It's not to their benefit to come to, if they're not going to be a full-blown citizen, I don't know that it's really to their benefit to come and become legal. With everything else they get away with today, it doesn't. I don't know. So that part kind of seems strange. The other thing that was, or I shouldn't say strange, that part of it, I don't know how much difference it really makes. The other piece of his immigration plan is the E-Verify. And I kind of agree, you know, again, this is leaning towards the libertarian side. I sort of agree what he says, but then I don't. I'm kind of not sure how to take this. Because he says this, the employers, the corporations, are not the immigration department. It should not be them to go out there and do all these pre-checks to make sure that the person's a legal citizen. And personally, I'd always been in support of E-Verify. But at the same time, E-Verify is a, when you talk about privacy and things like that, it's very invasive. it's not really what we think of when we talk about being secure in our papers, privacy, and things like this. So should the businesses be responsible to do it? Well, at the same time, a business, you know, if you're going to be on the payroll and they're going to be taking taxes out of you and all that fun stuff, which is why most of these illegals won't ever come forward, you'd have to have a Social Security number. Someplace in there you'd have to have a Social Security number. And with just that alone, once that Social Security number is out there, it really should be, Social Security should be out there doing a check, a validation. Well, wait a minute, this person's 200 years old, they're probably dead. Or the fact that, well, this person, we have them on record as having passed away 5 years ago. What's going on here? Or wait a minute, this person's working three different jobs and putting in, you know, 40 hours a day and whatever. Maybe it's people using the same Social Security number or something. So it would seem like there would be another means to correct it there, too. But I really wasn't against the E-Verify. So that piece of it, from a libertarian side, I kind of understand why he would go that way, you know, why he would oppose E-Verify. So that's the way I understand his immigration plan. If anybody's got any other information on it, please feel free to call in and share it. And then the next piece is about his budget. The budget, let's see here. When it comes to his budget, it was everything I was hearing about it. I mean, there was nothing to not like, I don't think. I mean, I really just didn't see everything I was hearing about his budget. It sounds great to me. And if Republicans are truly conservative, they would embrace this. Okay, the other on the budget now, he has it's a five-year plan to balance the budget. And when he goes into the details, and I won't be able to touch on all of it, but I'll give you the highlights of what I can remember on it and what I took down some notes. The budget, getting rid of the Department of Education. How big is that? There's so many reasons to get rid of that Department of Education, so many reasons to put it back to the state, so many reasons on a constitutional and saving the history of this country. What is going on in education across this nation is so disgusting. So terrible. And the other part, there's something out there going on with education where they're trying to make it illegal to homeschool. The government wants to indoctrinate these kids and brainwash them that the Boston Tea Party was an act of terrorism and that Paul Revere was a drug dealer. I mean, craziness of what they're wanting to do, what they're wanting to say. So the getting rid of the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education, it should have never been there. The Constitution in no way, shape, or form delegates that authority to the federal government. It should be a state issue. It should be controlled locally. Excellent to do that. And then it was Department of Energy, Department of the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Commerce. Major downsizing. He wasn't totally eliminating them, but he was definitely downsizing them. Privatizing TSA was another thing. I mean, all these different things that are not the role of the federal government. It's like getting back to the Constitution. What a concept. And why doesn't the GOP get this? So much of what he says is supported on both sides. And I'm talking about by Americans. Americans who will actually think about some of these issues versus strictly a party alliance. So why doesn't the GOP embrace this? Because this is true conservative values. This is true. And at one point, somebody was asking Ron Paul, did he consider himself to be, you know, he's a registered Republican, but does he consider himself to be a conservative, a libertarian, or a constitutionalist, whatever? And he maintains that he is a constitutionalist. To some, that means more libertarian, but constitutionalist. He governs by the Constitution. And I happen to think that's a great idea. I don't understand why the GOP doesn't embrace the Constitution. You know, I mean, when it comes to what we've seen happen in the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party has also fallen apart. It's not what it used to be, but neither is the GOP. They have both turned on their constituents, their members, the people they claim that they were working for, beliefs, the platform they claim they believed in. They don't do that. They're nowhere near it. And neither one of them do it. But, you know, all along, there was a reason why Martin Luther King was a Republican. The word Republican came from Republic, United States of America, Republic, and was all supposed to be about this limited government and the most freedom that a person chose. And in the case of the Democrats, they were supposed to believe in rights, too. That being a middle-class or lower-income person didn't mean you didn't have any rights. Didn't mean, and, you know, that's why the unions all came about, because of what the union bosses were doing, what the corporations were doing to the workers, and that's why the unions came. So to see what the Democrat Party was supposed to do, was supposed to protect the rights of those without the means to go out there and spend millions and millions of dollars to protect themselves, to ensure that they had rights. But the Democrat Party has done everything to take away their rights. How can the Democrat Party support saying somebody can only have a 16-ounce drink and all this other stuff, and what kind of earbuds they can have, and where that they can't smoke cigarettes, and this and that? The Democrat Party is not supporting the rights of the individual. They've caved in. The only thing the Democrat Party seems to want to support or promote is the right to abortion and the right to drugs. When it comes to anything else, everything else is a welfare state. And since when is a welfare state giving a person freedom, giving them their dignity and their rights? It isn't. A welfare state does everything to take away people's rights. So it's just, it's all pretty crazy. But going back to the GOP, well, Rand Paul's budget, again, massive, massive reorganization and restructuring of what the federal government is supposed to do. And I believe so many Americans would love that. It doesn't matter what party they're on. I think many, many are totally disgusted with what this federal government has done. So I believe that. And then when it came to the taxes, income tax, his plan is a flat tax of 17% across the board. The the first 50,000 income is exempt. So for you make 50,000 or less, you don't pay any income tax. If you make over 50, the first 50,000, nobody pays income tax on it. It's only when you make over 50,000 that you start paying the 17%. And from my understanding is you would pay income tax on all types of income. So if you're getting, if you're making money off the stock market, getting dividends, unearned income, as it sometimes is called, or capital gains, you would still pay the same tax. And you think, again, the Democrats should really like that, because that will actually tax the highest income, the most higher income people more, without playing games on different levels of taxes based on what type of income it is. So they should be happy for that. On the other side, those who currently benefit on these different levels of taxes, the more wealthy people probably won't like it. But it's a fair tax. Why not do that? And I think, you know, 50,000, to say the first 50,000 is not taxable, that takes care of the people who are in the lower income. And then think of the difference of what it would make when you go to get your taxes done, when you go to report taxes. You know, how much does that get rid of the IRS? I don't recall him talking about getting rid of the IRS, but that should streamline that IRS enormously. Wouldn't totally get rid of it, but it would get rid of a lot of it. Because for that basic income, the basic working American who does not have a lot of other expenses, if you will, or corporations with all the various expenses corporations have and these types of things, there won't be all the stuff to do. You pay one flat tax. I thought it was great. So immigration plan, I like most of it. I don't like that de facto amnesty of granting legal status. I'm still kind of concerned about that. But the fact that that border has to be secured first is a key role. And when you're asking people to come forward strictly to to get a green card kind of thing or get a worker permit kind of thing, legal status, not citizenship, that I don't know how many of them are going to come forward. So it was just kind of, that was kind of my take on the two things. And again, if anybody wants to share anything, please call in and let me know what your opinion is on those. The other thing is, going back to the GOP, and again, the total disgust of what both parties have become, but the GOP puts out this 100-page report of being supporting comprehensive comprehensive immigration reform, a.k.a. amnesty, going along with Rubio and the Gang of Eight routine, which I do not believe in. And then the different ways, I don't have it in front of me right now, but the different ways they word it to reach out to the Hispanic community and stuff like that. And I'll tell you, like I said, I will say it till the day I die, whatever, we're supposed to be Americans. And why the GOP doesn't understand how to embrace being Americans from anywhere, bringing the GOP is supposed to be the party that grants more freedom and opportunities to anyone. It's the one that gives you the option, that promotes and supports you, the individual, doing your own thing and being able to move from the lower income to the middle income to the higher, whatever, the Bill Gates kind of story thing. That's what being an American is supposed to be about. The opportunity is yours to take. And if we take care of what's going on in education, we should all be better educated. But right now, because of federal government involvement in education, education is getting worse. So for those who were at the low end to begin with, who lower income, who didn't have a lot of resources to go to private schools and get tutoring and then college, you know, tuition paid and all these other things, they're the ones who are going to suffer. They're the ones who will suffer the most and that by embracing all this craziness, what the Republican Party claimed to believe in versus what it is. So my question to the Republican Party, anybody that's out there, would you explain to me why you don't promote being an American? Do you truly think it's a bad thing? Why do you insist on going after Latinos, Hispanics? Are you going to have a special campaign for the Russians? Are you going to have a special campaign for the Italians? Are you going to have a special campaign for the Canadians? Wait a minute. So you're going to discriminate. So the Republican Party is, in fact, the party that discriminates. That's what you're telling me. And I just don't get it. With the Tea Party movement, which, of course, we all know the GOP has done its handiwork as much as it could to corrupt that process, but the Tea Party movement was proof of how many people on both sides of the aisle and many, many independent, no-party affiliates want to get back to the Constitution, want to get back to limited government, want to get back to embracing the most liberty and freedom you can have. But the Republican Party doesn't want to take that road. They want to merge themselves in with the Democrats, merge into the Democrat Party, and continue that movement towards the liberal progressiveness that makes us one world order. And you've got to go out there and see what these Republicans vote for, how many times they vote for liberal, progressive, one world order stuff, surrendering the rights of the American people. And it's despicable when any of them do it. It doesn't matter what party you're in. If you're elected a public office, you're supposed to be a public servant. You're supposed to work for the people. And you go out there and surrender the rights, the sovereignty of the United States, the rights of the American people, you are a traitor. That is treason. You've aided the enemy. You've aided the enemy in the destruction of this country. And the craziness of what's on that Supreme Court, who knows what they would say. I don't know that they can define treason. I don't think they know what it is after what they did with Obamacare and what they did with super PACs. It's like, you people are nuts. And we need to make serious changes. And that's where we could definitely use a constitutional amendment to say there is no such thing as a lifelong Supreme Court judge. There should never be lifelong Supreme Court judges. They should not be elected. You should not have a Supreme Court justice in the middle of all this campaign crap like we have today. They should be appointed. They should go through the same process, but they should only be there for a matter of 4 to 6 years, and then they rotate out. Over scattered years, you know, you'd be over every 4 years, somebody would be being replaced, or whatever it would be, whatever you come out with the timeline, so that no one single administration would ever have the chance to replace all of them. But even if they did replace many of them, they wouldn't last because, again, the next term, the 4-year terms of a presidency, you would be replacing them either with some, again, 6 years to me. 6 years on the Supreme Court is more than enough. I don't think they should be there longer than that, maybe less than that. Maybe it's 3 years, maybe it's 4 years, but that's it. They should not be there for life. And any Supreme Court justice who condemns the Constitution should be tried for treason. How can you have a Supreme Court justice who doesn't believe in the Constitution be up there? It makes no sense. So what is the Republican Party going to do? Republican Party is going to go out there and pander to the Hispanics. It's so disgusting. I left the Republican Party back in, I guess it was 2006, somewhere around there. Never looked back. Never have considered going back. Have never considered being part of any political party. I won't be. So that's my take on that. I tell you, I'm totally convinced this truly is the end of the Republican Party. I mean, in a ideological way, they already are gone. I mean, the fact that they're surrendering their principles, they truly are merged in with the Democrats, even though they might have two organizational entities, and they might talk a little bit different on a few things, the fact is they're all the same. So the Republican Party truly, after that report came out, the 100-page report saying how we're going to change, it's not to be more inclusive, it's to go out there and change your beliefs. Being inclusive would be to make sure the Hispanic community, in any community, not just them, understands what America is about and that they should want to be Americans. All Americans are welcome to the GOP. If you're not an American, then what are you doing here? That's what they should have been embracing instead of this process of dividing people up even more. And so because of that, they have in fact merged themselves in with the Democrat Party, so it's all one big party. There might be two separate headquarters, and there might be two chairs, the RNC and the DNC, but it's all the same game. There's no difference. There truly isn't. And I have no doubt, my own prediction here, and I'll say it one more time for the night, the Republican Party has embraced the Marco Rubio as their chosen child, even though we see an awful lot of support. Two facts. One, we see an awful lot of support from Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, who are really out there pounding the Constitution. They believe we have to get back to the Constitution. Rubio says very little about the Constitution. That's all there is to it. He just doesn't talk about it. My own opinion of Rubio, based on what I know of him from Florida, he's pro-Latino, pro-Cuban, anti-American. He's very much a liberal progressive. That's what he is. That's what he did as Speaker of the Florida House. Why else would Marco Rubio block 11 immigration bills at the Florida House as Speaker of the Florida House? He hasn't done anything that's made me believe he's anything different. He went out there and got a resolution to celebrate Cinco de Mayo but he rejected the Alamo. That's Marco Rubio. And the fact cannot be ignored, regardless of the White House occupier today, the excuse about the White House occupier today is not an excuse to ignore the Constitution. Again, Rubio is not eligible. Neither of his parents were natural-born citizens and were not citizens at the time of Rubio's birth. He is not eligible to be the president of the United States. And for the Republican Party to ignore that fact is to only show what their true colors are. And that's part of the reason probably why they didn't say a whole lot about the White House occupier, the birther routine. Because the White House occupier didn't belong there either. He doesn't. But in reality, one parent, when he was born, one parent was an American citizen. You can't say that for Rubio. So why would the Republican Party embrace Rubio? Because he's a Hispanic. He's a Latino. He's a Latino before he's an American. And, I mean, I listened to him and Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. I went back and listened to their speeches. Ben Carson, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, and Ted Cruz. I listened to their CPAC speeches probably three times each. And there's just a difference. Ben Carson, no party affiliate, common sense approach, back to the Constitution, understands the fall of the Roman Empire and says we're going down that same path. Very logical and just common sense. Excellent. And then you got Rand Paul, who's out there really stressing the constitutionality and the role of government based on the Constitution. And what does he say? Liberty and freedom. If you believe in liberty and freedom, you believe in the Constitution, stand with Rand. So that's what he believes. Marco Rubio sits on his water and the different jokes. Yeah, that's still going on. And he talks about being American. Yeah, he did. Very, very establishment. And I really just don't remember him ever getting excited about the Constitution and getting back to the Constitution. I just don't remember that from him at all. Ted Cruz, definitely into the Constitution. Definitely promoting the Constitution. And now some people would question whether he is legally eligible to be the president. He's born in Canada, I believe. But one parent was Colombian or something, and then one was American. Or something to that effect. Well, don't quote me on that. Don't hold me to that, but something to that effect. One parent was American, and he was, I believe, born in Canada. But anyway, the point is, Ted Cruz is truly closer to being a natural-born citizen than Rubio, even though I'm not sure Ted Cruz is either. Some people would say yes, some would say no, because it's my understanding that both parents have to be American citizens at the time of the birth. If you're, both of them were not American citizens at the time of your birth, then you are not a natural-born citizen. And I do understand why the Founding Fathers believed in that. You can't be the leader of this country and have any risk or any ties or associations to another country. How can you be loyal to this country if, in fact, you have a certain allegiance to another country at birth? You can't do it. So I totally understood why, and it makes sense to me. In the case of Marco Rubio, I believe it even more so, because I know what I've seen him do. Tom Pastore would be the one who'd have to explain to you what his personal experience was dealing with Marco Rubio's office and remembering the Alamo. Ted Cruz talked about the Alamo. Ted Cruz promoted and celebrated the Alamo. Marco Rubio trashed the Alamo and promoted Cinco de Mayo. What more do you need to say? That's what it is. And for those of you who don't like me saying things against Rubio, I'm just being honest. If you can tell me why what I'm saying is not true, feel free to share it. I pretty Tom Pastore would not be one to lie about the communication he had with Rubio's office about the Alamo. Rubio did not care about the Alamo. Rubio was out there on record promoting Cinco de Mayo. They killed Americans. That's the way it is. So what will the Republican Party do? Who will stand next to them? Won't be me. You can be sure of that. I didn't vote for him as a Tea Party candidate, and I will not vote for him as the president. I would not vote to reelect him as a senator. That's me. You have to do what your conscience tells you to do. Let's see here. Again, if anybody has anything they want to talk about in particular, please call in. 347-857-4364. I have been talking about Rand Paul and the immigration, Rand Paul and his budget, the GOP report where they're changing and where they've openly admitted they're part of the they're canceling all their principles and they're just aligning themselves to whatever the Democrats do. We have to be more like the Democrats. Okay. You just openly admitted you're not, you don't stand for anything. So if anybody wants to talk about that, please feel free to call in. 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 so I know that you want to speak on the air. Otherwise, I just leave you sitting out there in the queue. The other is the Second Amendment. Again, I can't stress enough, the Second Amendment, the whole reason for the Second Amendment is to prevent a tyrannical government, for the people to defend themselves against a tyrannical government. That is why they want to disarm the American people. One world order. The American people are not happy with what this government's doing today. And they're not going to put up with it. And to a certain degree, I see the White House occupier. He seems to be wanting a civil war. I believe that's his goal. My own personal belief is he wants to see this. He wants an excuse to declare martial law. He wants an excuse to become king. And then you have these people in these two houses of Congress who keep surrendering our rights to the UN, who keep selling off American assets to foreign corporations, toll roads. And that's just part of it. National monuments. It's unbelievable what the 545 people have done to this country. And so many of them have been there for so long. I mean, what's the average time for somebody to be in office these days? Once they get there. And I'm going to go back to, this is all tying back to what the show's about. The 300 million Americans versus 545 politicians. We have got to change this process. It's about the 300 million Americans. It's not supposed to be all about the 545 politicians. When will Americans embrace that fact? I'm hoping that they reject what the Republican Party is doing now. Of course, I want you to reject what the Democrats are doing too, because they're just as bad. I don't think you're going to find an answer in either one of these two parties. 300 million Americans against versus 545 sleazy, scumbag, self-serving, treasonous, traitors, politicians. And yes, I'll say there's a few that aren't there. Out of the 545 that are there, 10% maybe qualify as statesmen, stateswomen. The rest are congressional representatives, senators, presidents, Supreme Court judges, who are all out there for their own good, who will sell their vote at any, without thinking anything about it. Their loyalty is not to this country. And I do believe many go to Washington, D.C., in public office, period. Go to public office thinking that they're going to do something different, but they're too weak. Very few people have the courage to stand up to what it's all about. Very few have the courage to stand up to the lobbyist. Everything that we were talking about and what Charlie Reese and his article here says. I'm going to kind of go through a few pieces of this again. Now, just for those of you, well, if you're just joining now, you will. I'll tell you what I'm talking about here. And those of you who are playing through the archives at a later date will hear some of this again. Charlie Reese, he's a columnist at the Orlando Sentinel, and he's retiring, so his last article is out there today. And it's but he originally published this article back in February of 84, and it was called 545 People Are Responsible for the Mess, But They Unite in a Common Con. They're a bunch of con artists. Politicians are the con artists, the common con artist, and that's really the truth. That's what they are. Politicians versus the statesman. Politicians working for the next election. They don't care who they have to trash. They don't care about the Constitution. They will do whatever it takes to get reelected. Because it's not about you and me. It's not about the people. It's about them. A statesman is working for the next generation. A statesman is working on behalf of the people, protecting the people. We have more politicians than statesmen. That's all there is to it. There can be no denying that fact. So let me go ahead and read a couple pieces of this again. My first line, the favorite. If anybody can tell me why this isn't true, please let me know. Politicians are the only people in the world who create problems and then campaign against them. I don't know that I've ever heard any more truer words spoken. It's just, that's the way it is. Have you ever wondered if both Democrats and Republicans are against deficits, why do we have deficits? Have you ever wondered if all the politicians are against inflation and high taxes, why do we have inflation and high taxes? You and I don't propose a federal budget, the president does. You and I don't have the constitutional authority to vote on appropriations, the House of Representatives does. You and I don't write the tax code, Congress does. You and I don't set fiscal policy, Congress does. You and I don't control monetary policy, the Federal Reserve Bank does. 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president, and nine Supreme Court justices equate to 545 human beings out of the 300 million are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for the domestic problems that plague this country. And like I said, I understand totally what he's saying here. The only thing I would say is the 300 million people did not protest against the corrupt elections. We've had many, many people running for office who don't stand a chance because of corrupt elections, because of illegal monopolies like the two parties, and because of the garbage going on with electronic voting and things like this. So that's the only thing I would add to that. And then it goes on to say, I exclude the members of the Federal Reserve Board because that problem was created by Congress. It was in 1913, Congress delegated its constitutional duties to provide sound currency to a federally chartered but private central bank. They surrendered our rights. What they did in 1913 was unconstitutional. They surrendered their authority and gave it to a private entity to control the money of this country. One of the biggest beginnings of the end of this country, 1913. And you have to understand how monetary policy works at a global level. The International Monetary Fund, everything we see going on over in Cyprus right now, where they're actually trying to seize people's funds that are in their bank accounts, it's terrible to have a Federal Reserve central bank. And Jefferson warned us time and time again about it. Then he goes in to say, I exclude all these special interests and lobbyists for a sound reason. They have no legal authority. They have no ability to coerce a senator or a congressman or a president to do one cotton-picking thing. I don't care if they offered a politician $1 million in cash. The politician has the power to accept or reject it, no matter what the lobbyist promises. It is the legislature's responsibility to determine how he votes. that means they don't have to be bribed. It's the elected representative, senator, president. They're the ones who allow themselves to be bribed. You can't blame the one putting the money in front of them when these people do not hold up their end of the deal, when they are, in fact, criminals. Bribery is a crime, even though nobody will do anything about it. The 300 million people aren't doing anything about the bribery. A couple of us have done what we can to file lawsuits, but it takes more than just a few of us. We need a lot of people. We need critical mass, which is like 3 to 5% of that 300 million people to do something. Okay, those 545 human beings spend as much of their energy convincing you that what they did is not their fault. They cooperate in a common con regardless of party. That's what it is. They go and act like it's not their fault. It's not my fault. And then they go and vote for each other's special deals, earmarks, squirrel gadgets. What's the thing now they're going to be testing? How many millions of dollars are going to be testing bird genitalia or ducks or something, whatever? Totally nuts. Just nuts what they're doing. But they can't open the White House to the children to do the tours. But they can study ducks. Ridiculous. Okay, and then what separates a politician from a normal human being is an excessive amount of gall. No normal human being would have the gall of a speaker who stood up and criticized the president for creating deficits. It is pretty stupid, isn't it? Hypocritical. Stand up there and complain about the president creating deficits with what they do. The president can only propose a budget. He cannot force Congress to accept it. John Boehner, did you hear that? House of Representatives, did you hear that? U.S. Senate, did you hear that? Okay, then the other is the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, gives sole responsibility to the House of Representatives for originating and approving appropriations and taxes. Who is the Speaker of the House? John Boehner. He is the leader of the majority party. He and his fellow House members, not the president, can approve any budget they want. If the president vetoes it, they can pass it over his veto, if they agree to. The House passed a budget. Excuse me. The House passed a budget, but the Senate has not approved a budget in over 3 years. The president's proposed budgets have gotten almost unanimously rejected in the Senate in that time. So. But the president's been just playing games. He hasn't been serious. He gets rejected on both sides. And then this is the key to all this. It seems inconceivable to me that a nation of 300 million people cannot replace 545 people who stand convicted by present facts of incompetency and irresponsibility. I can't think of a single domestic problem that is not traceable directly to these 545 people. When you fully grasp the plain truth that 545 people exercise the power of the federal government, then it must follow that what exists is what they want to exist. The federal government is in a mess because of those who are there. They are responsible. But we, too, are responsible for not demanding honest elections. There would be a lot of things different right now in Washington, D.C., and in Tallahassee, Florida, local governments, if we had honest elections. Okay, and then goes into if the tax code is fair, it's because they, if the tax code is unfair, it's because they want it unfair. If the budget's in the red, it's because they want it in the red. The Army and the Marines are in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's because they want them in Iraq and Afghanistan. They do not receive Social Security, but are on an elite retirement plan not available to the people. It's because that's the way they want it. There is no insoluble government problems. Do not let these 545 people shift the blame to bureaucrats whom they hire and whose jobs they can abolish. to lobbyists whose gifts and advice they can reject, to regulators to whom they give the power to regulate and from whom they can take this power. Above all, do not let them con you into the belief that there exists some disembodied mystical forces like the economy, inflation, or politics that prevent them from doing what they take an oath to do. The economy does not make them violate their oath of office. Politics does not make them violate their oath of office. Inflation does not make them violate their oath of office. They do it because they don't care. It's all about them. It is all about them, and they would sell their grandmother. These 540 people, and they alone, are responsible. They and they alone have the power. They and they alone should be held accountable by the people who are their bosses. What kind of bosses have we been, people? Provided the voters have the gumption to manage their own employees, well, I think we can prove we haven't done that. That's where I get back into the corrupt elections. We should vote all of them out of office and clean up their mess. I have been saying reelect no one, for at least 6 years. Reelect no one. You got to get rid of them. You may end up losing a couple of good people who are actually statesmen, stateswomen, patriots, but most of them are scum. Evildoers who would sell out their own country for their own benefit. And I can give you a list of names that would do it and the things they have done that make me say it. It's just ridiculous. Okay, and then from this point on, there's this poem. And we'll see how much time do I have. Okay, I got enough time. I'll go ahead and read this one more time. And then hopefully people will pay attention to it. Okay, tax his land, tax his bed, tax the table at which he's fed. Tax his tractor, tax his mule, teach him taxes are the rule. Tax his work, tax his pay, he works for peanuts anyway. Tax his cow, tax his goat, tax his pants, tax his coat. Tax his ties, tax his shirt, tax his work, tax his dirt. Tax his tobacco, tax his drink, tax him if he tries to think. Tax his cigars, tax his beers, if he cries, tax his tears. Tax his car, tax his gas, find other ways to tax his ass. Tax all he has, then let him know that you won't be done till he has no dough. When he screams and hollers, then tax him some more. Tax him till he's good and sore. Then tax his coffin, tax his grave, tax the sod in which he's laid. Then put these words upon his tomb: taxes drove me to my doom. When he's gone, do not relax. It's time to apply the inheritance tax. And at this point, we go through a list of taxes, and I'm going to list them out for you. It's the inheritance tax, accounts receivable tax, building permit tax, CDL license tax, cigarette tax, corporate income tax, dog license tax, excise taxes, federal income tax, federal unemployment tax, fishing license tax, food license tax, fuel permit tax, gasoline tax, gross receipts tax, hunting license tax, inheritance tax, inventory tax, IRS interest charges, IRS penalties tax on top of the tax, liquor tax, luxury tax, marriage license tax, Medicare tax, personal property tax, real estate tax, service charge tax, Social Security tax, road usage tax, recreational vehicle tax, sales tax, school tax, state income tax, state unemployment tax, And I love this telephone ones. Telephone federal excise tax. Telephone federal universal service fee tax. Telephone federal state and local surcharge tax. Telephone minimum usage surcharge tax. Telephone recurring and non-recurring charges tax. Telephone state and local tax. Telephone usage charge tax. Utility taxes, vehicle license taxes, registration taxes, vehicle sales taxes, watercraft registration taxes, well permit taxes, worker compensation taxes. Now, I know here in Florida we have other taxes. Tax you got to get to put a door on, get a permit to put a door on your house. Even though you're replacing an existing door, you still have to get a permit. And, I mean, all these different ways they tax you to death. So I could give you another good list of them, but we'll stop there. Now, still think this is funny? Not one of these taxes existed 100 years ago, and our nation was the most prosperous in the world. We had almost absolutely no national debt and had the largest middle class in the world, and mom stayed home to raise the kids. What in the heck happened? Can you spell politicians? Yeah, I can, and I have spelt it many times. American statesman versus a politician. I hope this goes around the USA at least 545 times. Can you help it get there? Go ahead, be an American. Send this to everyone you know. I have sent it around. I sent it into several mass emails today, and I have said it on the show twice now. So I have done my best to spread that word because it's the truth, the absolute truth. Politicians are the only people in the world who create problems and then campaign against them. 545 people have us in this mess. And if Americans don't do something, it's going to be over. They will take us completely down if the 300 million people just sit on the sidelines. Excuse me. So please, please get involved. Please spread the word. Please be Americans. Please be united as Americans. Please honor the American's creed, which is what I'm going to share right now. We've got about 20 minutes left here. And again, if anybody has anything specific they want to talk about in the next 20 minutes, give me a call, 407-857-4364. Press 1 to speak on the air. Otherwise, when I see you out there, I don't bother you unless you specifically press 1 and let me know you want to talk. Okay, The American's Creed by William Tyler Page. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparably established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. This was written in 1917, after the Federal Reserve was created, accepted by the United States House of Representatives on April 3rd, 1918. You can go out to ushistory.org and find the document out there if you'd like. But this is what it's about, people. We have these politicians over here, the 545 against the 300 million, and we, the 300 million, are the American's creed. If you do not honor and do not believe in that American's creed, would you please find another country that would make you happy? If you don't want to be an American, go someplace else. You have no right to try to convert America into whatever it is you're trying to convert it to, whether that be Islam, Sharia law routine, the Sharia stuff. That's not what America is. The silent invasion, the Mexicans who think that Texas was stolen from them and the Alamo and all that, that's not the way it was. And if you want to truly declare war on the United States and try to take back your land, well, let's do that. that the nerve for the silent invasion to be allowed by 545 people. These 545 people have violated their oath of office in so many ways. They have violated our Constitution in so many ways. They have violated our rights in so many ways. There was an article, or a segment, I guess I saw on Fox, I believe it was Fox that said it, where a kid had put a picture on Facebook where he was holding some kind of small shotgun. It wasn't a BB gun, but it wasn't much more than that from what I could tell, what they were saying about it. And after that picture was out there on Facebook, this was up in New Jersey, I believe, they went and demanded to, without a warrant, went into this guy's house and tried to demand that he unlock a safe or something or whatever. So he wouldn't do everything they wanted without a warrant. But this is what has come to this country. And you got 545 people, with the exception of a few. We know Rand Paul doesn't support that. We know Ted Cruz doesn't support that. I really don't know what Rubio supports. I can't figure him out because I believe I'm pretty sure he was in favor of Patriot Act and NDAA. But how many of them voted for NDAA and voted for the Patriot Act, which made that all legal to do, or semi-legal? But everything I keep hearing from Judge Napolitano, don't let him in your house. They don't have a search warrant, don't let him in. And you know what? Go out there and get any kind of gun you can get before it's too late. Go out there and make sure you can defend yourself before they go and circumvent the Constitution of the United States and the sovereignty of this country, surrendering our rights to the United Nations. There can be no bigger treason for these people to sell us off to the United Nations. How do these people sleep? Do they have no ethics or integrity at all? You know, that's a silly question. I've tried to ask some of these people face-to-face, but they take off running like Daniel Webster. Daniel Webster was my congressional representative last time, and then after they redid all the districting and gerrymandering of the districts, and then Alan Grayson is my guy now. And I'll tell you, the first time I voted for, first time around, I did vote for Alan Grayson. I did not vote for him again. I wouldn't make the same mistake twice. But the only reason why Alan Grayson was there is because of what the Republican Party did with Rick Keller. Rick Keller shouldn't have been there, but because he was the incumbent, the Republican Party insisted on rallying behind him instead of helping somebody else get in there. So there was no way I was going to vote for him. So the only other person that was there was Alan Grayson. And, well, how did that work out? Well, I think we all know how that worked out. Even though, at one point, before Alan Grayson decided to go nutso on health care, he was actually doing a good job on the Federal Reserve. I think they identified $900 billion they couldn't account for. He started to do some good stuff. And then he flipped out. And he said, Republicans want you to die quickly. And it's so interesting when it's Obamacare that has the death panels in it. So Obamacare that's going to limit and restrict care to people that they think are too sick. You're too old. You're not worthy of the treatment. Everything to do with health care is a mess. And who was it that was talking about health care? It might have been Ben Carson, because he's a neurosurgeon. When they go, and I don't know if it was him, but the discussion, and I've kind of suggested this in the past on myself, I always believed HMOs were part of the problem. Once they created HMOs and once they created wellness, this wellness mentality, go to the doctors frequently and often, whether you need to or not, to stay healthy. Well, I don't think going to the doctors multiple times has kept Americans healthier. I think it's far from it. I believe it's just the opposite. This mentality that you're going to go to the doctor and they're going to find something. Type 2 diabetes, I think, is one of the biggest scams there is in the healthcare profession. I don't, while I would agree the food we eat today isn't as good because most of it is processed so much, I don't believe we have the food is creating all this type 2 diabetes to the extent they're saying. And I hear them say type 2 diabetes to people who are thin, almost underweight, and people who are overweight. So what they say on this stuff makes no sense. So I believe type 2 diabetes is one of the biggest medical scams there is. Because once they get you on it, and once they start giving you popping pills into you for it, all the money from the pharmaceuticals they get, and the meds they give you kill your kidneys and destroy your body in other ways. So then they put you on dialysis. One thing leads to another. It's one of the worst things I think the medical profession has done to people. But the whole point of it is, it was this mentality. Well, you got to go to the doctors once a year for a checkup. Now always check with your doctor before you do this, that, or whatever. Before you go on a diet, check, you know. It's all these craziness and a mentality to pop a pill. Cure in a bottle. Health in a bottle. Whatever you want to call it. And to me, it's been nothing but a decline of healthcare in every respect. People are taking drugs that they shouldn't be taking, don't need it. There's never a natural treatment, just as with diabetes. They never really promote different supplements like cinnamon and things like that that could help. They don't do that. But because you have these health management organizations, this wellness mentality, people are saying, well, if you don't go to the doctors, then you're going to lose it. That your health care plan allows you so many trips to the doctor, so you have to go. Can't waste it. Go use up all that money because you won't be able to claim it after this, or you can only use it up for this year. And, I mean, this is a sick mentality. It's not a matter about being healthy or sick and going seeking treatment when you are not well. It's about using up insurance benefits, whether you need them or not. So, anyway, I wasn't really planning on getting into too much of a discussion about the healthcare, but it's all part of it. It's all relative as to what these morons are doing to us and the 545 who are taking us down, and we're letting them do it. 300 million people. What does it say about 300 million Americans when they allow 545 people to destroy them? What does it say? I think it says we're pretty pathetic. And I do what I can. I do this show out here to try to get information to people, to let people know that they're not alone. There's a lot of us out here who don't believe in Agenda 21, who don't believe in destroying the sovereignty of this country, and who don't believe what this government is doing to us. And if we all come together, 300 million people, they can't stop us. They have no power over 300 million. The question is, out of that 300 million Americans, out of the 300 million Americans, the majority do not support what this government's doing today or what it has become, including the Second Amendment. You'll have those that do, but how many, what percentage of 300 million people support taking away the Second Amendment? I think it's a very small portion. It's definitely not the masses. So if those who truly believe in the Constitution and believe in being Americans and being nothing but Americans, we can correct this. If we will turn off the Super Bowl game, turn off the basketball games, turn off the other nonsense, and get involved. Take action. Do the right thing. Actually spend time learning the Constitution. Take time to teach your kids about the Constitution. Believe in something. Whether you believe in the same thing I do or not, whatever. But at least believe in something. Be part of it. And if you really don't like America, you don't believe what America stands for, you don't believe in the most liberty and freedom as possible, then go someplace else. I have no doubt. And if you truly hate America, which is what some of you apparently do, that's why you're invading America, the anti-Americans, if you really hate America this much, I do wonder that there'd be Americans out there who maybe, you know, some of these billionaires would give you a one-way ticket to whatever place you think you want to live. If you like communism, I'm sure we can figure some way to get you to go to China or North Korea, if that's what you like. You know, you don't have to stay in America if you don't believe in the Constitution. But don't take it down. Don't think you have the right to take it away from the rest of us, because you don't. And many of us will fight to protect that Constitution. And I believe that's what Rand Paul said at CPAC. Do we believe in liberty and freedom and the Constitution? Are we willing to defend it? Don't know if that's the exact quote, but it's pretty close. Are we willing to defend the Constitution? Many of us are. And I believe we have critical mass. We just have to bring the people together. We have to be united as one nation under God. We have to be united as one people, which means we're Americans. Not Latino Americans, not Hispanic Americans, not Russian Americans, not Italian Americans, not Canadian Americans, not Greek Americans, whatever. We need to be Americans. United, we stand. Please be Americans. And we are down to just a few minutes here. And on that note, please tune in. A couple of reminders again. I am working on a new schedule, probably going to be changing it at the beginning of March. There's going to be a weekly transportation show. May only be for an hour. Again, I'm working all the details out here. But I really do want to help form that coalition or be a source for the various groups who are out there fighting the toll roads, fighting public-private partnerships that are selling off our infrastructure to foreign corporations. I want this to be a source for them to come to share their message, to get information. So we will have a weekly meeting on transportation. And I am continuing to go out there, going after AAA. AAA has abandoned American motorists and their members at the toll booth. Everybody needs to call and get in touch with AAA, especially if you're a member. Especially if you're a member, call AAA and say, why have you abandoned us at the toll booth? Why, and as I mentioned earlier, the Florida court has approved detaining motorists at the toll booth. Something to do with the motorists having a large bill, and for whatever other reasons, they will be allowed to detain the motorists at the toll booth. Where's AAA fighting for the just laws? Fair laws for traffic, for motorists. They just seem to be MIA. And then the other thing is we all know what mainstream, lamestream media is. Cable news is just as bad. Fox News is more conservative than the others, but it's slanted in its own ways too. It's very much controlled in many ways. So, and that includes its Fox affiliates at the local level. So we need to get more honest reporting out there, and we need for people to get involved to let that happen. So if you're tired of the garbage reporting, the violations of SEC 99-390, and the local network affiliates, I should say the network affiliates, news media, they are supposed to serve the public interest, but they don't. They lie. If you're tired of the garbage going on in the media, then you need to contact your local cable provider, cable service, DirecTV, Dish, whichever one it is. Glenn Beck, I believe, is on Dish TV. It's on one of them. But if you don't have that service, you need to contact your local cable provider and say you want Glenn Beck to be added to it. The Blaze. Ask for The Blaze. The Blaze TV, so that you can get honest reporting out there, separate from what you hear out there today. We need to get the truth out there. We need people to be able to hear information, exactly what's going on with the various candidates, where they stand on issues, what exactly it means when the thing with Cyprus and all the checking accounts and what they were doing out there, what it means for the UN Small Arms Treaty, things that the mainstream media won't tell you. So we need to get that information out there. And if you're in Central Florida and you have Bright House, call phone number is 1-866-309-3279. That's 1-866-309-3279. If you do not know, you can call. There's a general number that Glenn Beck has put out there, 1-800-996-2529, 1-800-996-2529, and you can find out there. Or you can go to Glenn Beck, theblaze.com, and there's a link there that you can put in your zip code, and it'll give you the option of what who your cable provider could be, and then you can find out that way too. So please help get some honest news media out there, because freedom of the press is another big piece of why our country is falling. Freedom of the press, today's media is really just an extension of government and is forcing a certain message to us. We should never, never allow the media to be monopolized the way we have allowed it on radio, Clear Channel. When you do that, they control the message. They brainwash the people. So we've got to get some other people out there talking about this stuff. And let's see, what else? Anything else? I mentioned some of the drone protest rallies coming up this Saturday. You'll need to go do a search and see what's close to you, what's going on, but I've seen several of them. And, oh, the other thing I was going to mention, won't have too much time to it, is they're cutting back, because of sequester, they're cutting back on veterans' benefits. In the meantime, they're spending millions and millions of dollars on the Missiles to Nowhere. I don't know all the details about this Missiles to Nowhere, but if you do a search on that, I'm sure you can pull it up. Right now, they're funding creating these different types of missiles that they know will never be used. It's just pork spending to the max. At the same time, they're cutting back on veterans' benefits. It's outrageous what these people are doing. These 545 people are destroying this country, and we're letting them. We're letting them get away with it. So please do something. Please get involved and let's do something about it. And let's see, I think that's about it. I'm trying to see if there was anything else. Second Amendment, definitely look up UN Small Arms Treaty and how this is a process to take away our Second Amendment rights via the UN. Outrageous. And that's pretty much it. Well, thank you for tuning in. Please be Americans. Be patriots. Please come together, united as one people. And I really don't care where you came from. Just be an American. Be here legally and be an American. Embrace the Constitution. Embrace the language. Embrace the meaning of being an American. And we will survive. United we stand. Divided we will fall. Let there be no doubt on that one. On that note, thank you, everyone, and may God bless and protect the USA. Good night.